Next item is item 11, persons to be heard.
We have no persons to be heard, sir.
Thank you. Unfinished business, we have none. Item 13, new business, 13A, proposed ordinance number 884, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending Title II of the Wrangell Municipal Code, specifically amending Section 2.16, candidates, 2.20, voting, Section 2.28, canvassing returns, and 2.36, election offenses. This is a first reading.
Move to approve first reading and move to a second with a public hearing to be held on September 9th, 2014.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, call the roll, please.
Assemblymembers Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Wiederspin?
Yes.
And Mayor Jackson?
Yes. Item 13B, proposed ordinance number 885, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending Wrangell Municipal Code, Chapter 1.08, Borough Flag, specifically Section 1.08.010 and 1.08.020. This is a first reading.
Move to approve first reading and move to a second with a public hearing to be held on September 9th, 2014.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
I'd have to say this was a very nice job he did on this. I mean, he did the research.
Yes.
Absolutely wonderful.
Anything else? Call the roll, please.
Assemblymembers Decker?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Wiederspin?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jackson?
Yes. Thought that was my hearing aid.
Sorry.
I was wondering.
They make that tall.
They do.
When the batteries go dead. Item 13C, proposed ordinance number 886, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending and adding new sections to Title I of the Wrangell Municipal Code General Provisions. This is a first reading.
Move to approve the first reading and move to a second with public hearing to be held September 9th, 2014.
Second it.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Mayor.
Yes.
I wonder if we could get the chief of police to kind of give us a quick rundown on this.
Would you come forward and give us a rundown on what this is all about?
This is just the animal ordinances?
This is the general provisions title.
Oh, the fines. What we've done is basically, instead of having a fine listed at every new rule that comes up, we've got just a general list where you have your rule and then you have your fine section, so that you look up the rule and then you go to the fine section and see what it is. That way the two aren't, they're still related, but they're not, you're not having to go to each individual one to figure out what a fine is for them. It just makes it a lot cleaner and a lot simpler once it's done, and to change things then as things go along.
So to follow up on that, so you didn't change any of the values, you just changed?
Some of them were changed. Some of them are like, there was a couple of them where we actually lowered the fine because of the surcharge, like for a first-time animal running at large and stuff, because the court is now saying you have to pay the surcharge in addition to the fine. So we're trying to keep things kind of the way they are without making them real bad, and until you get into like the third and fourth offense, and then the fines have gone up substantially.
That satisfies me on that. My only question really was, and it was brought up by Assemblymember Blake in the past, about the animal issues, and, I mean, he had mentioned, I believe, you know, is $15 adequate for the first line for some of these things, and, you know, are people really paying attention to that level of fine? So, I mean, the only thing that I would say is maybe consider for the animal at large and you know, I think all those, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, first five there, maybe increasing it to like 50, 100, and 200 or something like that. But it, to me, it all kind of goes as a package of what we do with the animal section, and if, you know, are we serious about, you know, making changes and enforcing what we're going to do, or are we going to kind of do what we've been done in the past, which is not really enforced a lot of those. So those are my thoughts.
The code review committee has been working on the animal ordinances quite a bit, actually, the last couple of times. Doug was involved in that, the borough clerk and I, and Jeff also. And Pam was in on that. So we have done that, went over that pretty good, and it will be coming out later. And like Doug said, though, that I know what your point is. $15 does not sound like a whole lot of deterrence.
Right.
But with the court costs being added to that, it's pretty substantial.
Well, you got the fact that I think the code is a little bit too broad. And basically, if an animal's off the leash anywhere in this borough, you can be ticketed for it. If he is not under control.
No.
So if you take your dog walking, even 12 miles out where I'm at, if that dog gets out of your sight, you can still be ticketed. And you got some problems with coming onto private property that I object to as well. If a man's pet or dog is on their private property, I have a problem with allowing the police to access private property for that purpose. Which they have the right to do that.
For which purpose?
To take care of a dog that was at large or whatever.
Well, if he's on your property, he would not be at large.
Well, that's not what one of your officers told me a while back.
So the law.
So this is what I'm saying. This right. needs the to be fine.
The ordinance is pretty clear that your property is for the animal to be.
In our revisions, we did discuss that quite extensively, and there are provisions being made for that. Like out the spur road, a lot of times people take their dogs out there and they're not on a leash, but they're within sight or sound of the owner. There's no problem with that. They are under control if they will return to the owner when they're called.
I just want to let the assembly know we did, the code review committee did meet quite a few times, and we went over this, and then I spent a lot of time with the attorney going over this, and multiple, at least 12 revisions back and forth, and she is really good at checking the other municipalities, kind of seeing what they're doing, what kind of the standard is, and in the next item, 13D, is the animal ordinance. And that one explains, we do have the voice control, the off-leash areas, and that's defined. So, I mean, we did spend a lot of time, you know, going over this through the code review committee process. And then afterwards, it didn't come to the last meeting because I wasn't ready. So.
Also, it does have in here, on the ordinance for 887, on the next one, the entering public or private property.
We're getting kind of far.
Yeah, we're getting on the end now.
Let's finish C first.
The, Item 13C is, has to do with the penalties and not the offense itself, so let's stick to that. Any further discussion on that? Roll call, please.
Assemblymembers McCloskey?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Wiederspin?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13D, proposed ordinance number 887, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City of Rural Glenville, Alaska, amending and adding a new chapter and adding new sections to Title VII of the Wrangell Municipal Code, Animals. This is a first reading.
I'll move to approve the first reading and move to second with a public hearing to be held on September 9th, 2014.
I'll second it.
Then move to second. Any discussion?
I have a couple of questions. On section 7.04.0340, penalty for violation, one of the issues...
has to be deleted, right?
That entire thing?
The bold part is to be deleted, the underlined is to be added.
Yeah.
Okay. And then section 7.08.010, licensing. It talks about what the owner needs to bring to the police department for licensing. They get a description of the dog, breed, color, name, sex, so on and so forth. But there's nowhere in there that requires them to show a current rabies certificate. And I think that's very important. Down below, it does say dog vaccination required, but there's no requirement in here for them to show that that certificate is current before they get a license.
That's one of the issues that we wrestled with quite a little. The problem is when you don't have a full-time vet here, you will often get dogs that don't have current rabies, where we have no endemic rabies in the area. I guess I'd rather have them licensed so we can identify the dog and encourage them to get rabies.
Okay. But,
so that was sort of a trade-off between saying, no, you can't have a license, and then they just say, well, fine, we're not going to get rabies or a... And the other thing that made it difficult was when you do impound an animal, one of the things we require then is that they have... they have to buy a license if it doesn't have one before they leave, and you can't sell them a license without the rabies vaccination. So what do you do with the dog until they get the... And it just kind of seemed to streamline things by not requiring it for a license.
That's all I got.
Anyone else have anything?
You got 7.04.030, entering public or private property. An animal enforcement agent may enter into any property, public or private, at all reasonable hours in the performance of his or her duties. What is his or her duties to constitute coming onto my private property?
Generally, it would be something that was a public risk. As far as coming onto property to, the only one I can see where you would be is a lot of times you'll end up following a dog to somebody's property to find out whose it is, and then you go in and pick it up. As far as just running around to look for somebody's dog on their property, it's not going to happen.
I think that should be defined just a little clearer. I don't have any problems with somebody bringing my dog home or it was running and they come to tell me that. That's fine, but that's not what this paragraph states. His or her duties, which can be very broad.
Well, they're pretty well defined within the ordinance here. Those are the things that I guess you as a council decide are important that you want enforced, and those are the things that we would go on to enforce, not
his or her duties under this title. That's what it says.
Okay.
So it sounded like they could come on your property and then say, well, I got to take care of this police business and this police business and this police business.
It's a specific title.
Specific to this.
Specific to this title. It's not just a, an open search warrant to come onto somebody's property to nose around.
Right.
If there's a purpose under this, and like I say, the following a dog home to determine ownership would be one. The other one would be like the vicious dog thing, or that type of thing.
The U.S. Supreme Court has found that a police officer can, in the performance of his duty, go to your house up to the normal traffic area of your house, up to your front door, the normal entranceway. A police officer has that right under the Supreme Court decisions. It also states in here that the officer cannot enter that house or any building on that property.
Well, and I realize this, and I don't really have a problem with that end of it, but years ago, I come from a ranching community, and a lot of that was private property locked off. The Fish and Game would use the excuse that we seen or had a report of a violation, which then gave them the right to come onto your property. And they would fictitiously, which they got caught doing, would falsify these reports of these wrongdoings just to gain access to look around and do what they wanted to do. So I think we have to have some restraints.
And I think they're fairly well defined to laws as it comes. Just going in on a fishing expedition would be.
And that was my concern, but
yeah,
no, you've addressed that.
So. I don't see that as happening.
Okay.
And I can't understand. I guess I can't see how you could twist it to be able to accomplish that from our perspective.
You haven't talked to enough lawyers yet.
Well, I try and avoid them.
What is the meaning of is?
Yeah, it's, I value property rights and a person's privacy, and I think that all of our officers do. There are times when we do things that people don't like, and it's...
Well, that's inevitable.
That's inevitable, but we let the court sort that out.
You have a question?
Yeah, just a few more comments about this. On page 5, section 7.04.020, animals at large prohibited. Maybe I'm reading this wrong, but maybe this is what Mark was referring to. This sounds to be broadly saying, for instance, dogs. It's unlawful for dogs to be at large within the borough limits, but it doesn't make any exception for the off-leash areas in this section right here. And then I know it's talked about later and defined what the off-leash areas are, so am I reading that wrong, or should that be?
Yeah.
Well, that was the same question I had.
Yeah, no, I think you're reading it, because what they do is they generally say, keep your dog under control. You're responsible for that. And then they create exceptions or exemptions to that as it goes along. So, I mean, generally speaking, you know you have to keep your dog, contained or controlled wherever you're at. And yet there are areas where it's less restrictive.
Okay, under certain circumstances.
Yes.
Okay, so that's how you're reading that. And then, so I have some other comments. On page 7, the licensing thing and the, at large clean up after your dog, I think that's on page 9, dog feces. I really don't have any problems with those things, but I think they're already in our ordinances and we're not doing them, so.
Which ones?
Well, like cleaning up after your dog and the dog at large thing.
It's not currently, and the dog at large thing is, and it is enforced. I'm not gonna say we run out and chase every dog down, but we deal with all the problem dogs. Or try to. And we've got some things that are gonna come about here shortly too, with the change of this ordinance, to make it a lot simpler. As far as enforcement goes.
Okay.
And that's why and I'll admit, we've been pretty lax with it lately, because some of it got to where it was real difficult to enforce. The license versus the rabies tag and some of that. But whenever we've gotten a call on an animal that's causing a problem, it's been dealt with quickly. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to the first fine not being high enough. I think anybody that owns dogs or any animal realizes that from time to time they're gonna go on their own little walkabout whether you like it or not. So at what level do you wanna penalize a guy for?
I guess that's one of my concerns, is just you could get an overjealous officer that wants to enforce this by the letter, and it could get ugly. I mean, it says right here that a keeper shall keep his dogs under sight and control, with sight and control. I take my dog for a walk, he runs in the woods, he's out of my sight. You know, they don't go 20, 30 feet, they're back on the road again, but still, by the letter of this law, I'm in violation. So you could give me a ticket.
But the problem with, I mean, I understand your scenario. The trouble with it is who's going to be there to complain? You know, if your dog has gone onto somebody else's property and caused problems, then we have an issue that has to be dealt with. You didn't have your dog under control. So we deal with that. But as far as if you're out the road running your dog, a classic example for me would be the hounds, if you decided to chase.
Well, this is almost as controversial as chickens, you know.
No, it's exactly the same thing, and I'm sure that it makes nobody happy, so it tells me it's probably somewhere in the middle and not too far off.
I agree. That's all my questions.
Okay.